This morning, God's Word comes to us from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll be reading just the first 11 verses of this chapter. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, heralds of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, yesterday I saw a news blurb on TV telling me that I had only 81 days yet until high-definition television takes over. We have only 81 days. If you have not made that switch yet, I'm sure there is someone in the congregation that could help with any TV concerns you might have. Mr. Bolt can help us with that. For those of you watching your calendar, there are 25 shopping days left till Christmas. Make sure you put all the important names on your shopping list. Only 25 shopping days left. And for those of you watching your watch, there are about 33 minutes left in this worship service today. We are creatures of time. We are those who measure life by time. Maybe, kids, when it gets close to your birthday, you make a little calendar and you say, it's 7 days left to my birthday, or it's 6 days left to my birthday, and you put X's on the calendar because the anticipation of your birthday helps with the celebration of your birthday. When we anticipate these wonderful, exciting days in our lives, it helps us to prepare for the celebration itself. Well, in the church, we have what we call liturgical time. Liturgical time measures the time in our life according to the events of Christ and the events in His life. And in liturgical time, today is the first day of the year. Today marks the beginning of the anticipation of Christ's birth. We're looking forward to Christmas. We're looking forward to celebrating that on December 25. But the church has historically recognized the four Sundays before Christmas as a time to help us prepare for that celebration. That time of preparation for Christmas is called Advent, a time that looks forward to the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, historically, Advent has been tied with a number of things. Oftentimes tied with Advent wreaths and Advent candles. Those are not quite as important to us, but the idea of preparing for the birth of Christ certainly is important. Advent has historically been tied to a particular liturgical color. So for those of you who asked me before the service if there was any particular color associated with Advent, the color is purple. Okay? That's the Advent color that goes with Advent. Advent helps us to prepare. It reminds us that the story of Jesus' birth did not begin in Luke chapter 2. The story of Jesus' birth did not begin in Matthew chapter 1. But the story of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world is all the way back in the Old Testament. All the way back to Genesis, where God promised that the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent. And God then, through time, worked those promises out until in the fullness of time, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. For the 4 Sundays of Advent this year, we will look at prophecies from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, a book that speaks to Israel looking forward to the time of restoration. Maybe you recognized, even as I read this morning, how many passages from Isaiah are quoted in Handel's Messiah. Maybe in your house, you listen to that around Advent and Christmas time. And so many of those texts from the Messiah come from Isaiah. Words of comfort, words of assurance, words of promise that Christ is coming. And that's where we're at this morning, in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. That's how the Messiah begins. The tenor voice rings out, comfort ye, my people, says your God. Now, as we enter into Isaiah at this late chapter, chapter 40, it's important to recognize where we are in the book. For the first 39 chapters, Isaiah has been prophesying of a coming judgment. God will come to judge His people. God will come in justice. God will come to judge. And in fact, that's how Isaiah 39 ends. Isaiah 39, verse 5. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that are with which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." God's judgment, God's justice for 39 chapters has been prophesied. And now Isaiah, looking forward to when Israel would be in captivity, speaks another word. Not a word of continuing judgment, but a word of hope and a word of comfort. Yes, God would come to judge, but that would not be the end for Israel. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Literally, speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Tell her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, that seems like kind of a strange way to end that initial call to comfort. She's received double for all her sins. The prophet doesn't mean that she's received twice as much as she deserves, but what he means is she has received the full portion. The full portion of her sins has been pardoned. Her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. She's received from the Lord's hand all the judgment that she is going to get. Now, comfort. Isaiah 40 is a word of hope for those in exile. A voice cries out in verse 3. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." In the wilderness, this voice calls out. The wilderness, symbolic for the people of Israel. A place of judgment for the people of Israel. Remember, children, how they were going to go through the wilderness of the promised land, and yet God, because of their sin, had them wander for 40 years in the wilderness. A reminder of God's judgment. A reminder of God's justice. A symbol of death for them. That whole generation died out in the wilderness. And it's in this
place of death, in this place of judgment, that the voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. In the place of death, prepare for the coming of life. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low, the uneven ground become level, the rough places a plain. What the prophet is saying in beautiful, picturesque language is there will be no hindrance to the coming of the Lord. It will be as if the high mountains are leveled. He will come. It will be as if the valleys are raised. He will come. The rough place is smooth. The rough place is plain. He will come without hindrance. The coming of the Lord to the desert, to the place of death, the place of destruction, the place of judgment, in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, and nothing will keep him from coming. Surely he will come to those who are in the desert, in the wilderness. Surely he will be there and nothing can stop him. His coming with words of comfort is guaranteed, is assured, is reliable. Comfort my people, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. The warfare is ended. The iniquity is pardoned. For surely the Lord comes as one who comes riding into the desert, into that place of death, with words of life. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The glory of God bringing life to the desert, bringing life to the wilderness, bringing life to the place of death. Maybe it's a little bit hard for us who live here in Sioux Center to kind of imagine what it's like in the desert. We used to live in the desert. And it's a desert, okay? It's wilderness. It's dry. It's barren. And until there is water that comes that brings life, the desert is bare. The desert, when the water comes finally, will begin to bloom and blossom and become beautiful. That's what it is like when the promised one comes. The glory of the Lord is revealed, and it's like water on the desert. And the flowers spring up, and things begin to grow. And there is life that comes from death. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. They had seen the glory of God in His wrath. They would see the glory of God in His justice. As He would come and send them away to the king of Babylon, and they would be servants in His house. They would know the glory of God's justice and His wrath. But now the prophet says, the glory of God shall be revealed in His tender care and mercy for His people. And all flesh shall see it together. Isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ did? John 1, verse 14, He came full of grace and truth. We have seen the glory of the one and only who comes from the Father. Isaiah 40 points past the restoration for the people of Israel. And points on to a greater restoration. To restoration that would come through Jesus Christ. The true glory of God revealed and all flesh see it together. Christ in Christmas comes into the barrenness, into the sinfulness, into the death of our cold hearts. And He brings new life. Left to ourselves, it is like the desert. No life, no hope, nothing there. And then Christ, like that living water, comes. And His Spirit breathes life into us. And His glory is revealed in us. And the warfare is ended. And our iniquity is pardoned. And we are assured we have received from the Lord all the judgment we shall receive. And now His grace and His mercy and His love. What hope for those in exile. Advent reminds us that Christmas is more than just the birth of a baby. It is the coming of a Savior into a fallen, sinful world. And that is what we celebrate. And that is what we anticipate. And that is what we look forward to. Comfort, my people, comfort. For your iniquity has been pardoned. The glory of the Lord to be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It is sure. Another voice speaks from the prophet. Another voice cries out, picking up that idea that the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And the voice says, cry. And I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. Now there's going to be a contrast made between simply the words of man and the word of God. And the assurance that we have that when God says He will do something, then He will do something. And the prophet paints this beautiful picture. I love the prophets because they're so picturesque and they use such beautiful language. The picture of grass, the picture of a flower as a picture of frailty, as a picture of transience. We had some flowers outside of our house when we moved in, and they were beautiful. Beautiful, blooming flowers. They were kind of purplish, and I don't know what kind they were, but they were beautiful. And now, the winter blast comes, and the cold comes, and they're shriveled up, brown little nothings. That which once was full of life, and so beautiful, and so wonderful, when the cold wind comes, shrivels and dies. The transience of the word of man. All flesh is grass. Its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. Yes, the grass does wither and the flower does fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. In contrast to the transience, to the temporary nature of human wisdom, of human word, comes the Word of God, a Word that will stand forever, the divine permanence, the assurance. God's Word will last forever. God's promises will never fail. And that's what Advent speaks about. The promises of God never failing. The promises of God continuing, even when we don't see it. God had made promises so many years ago to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There will be a seed of the woman to crush the seed of the serpent. When their first son was born, well, you can imagine, they thought that was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Well, here's the seed of the woman. Here's the one who will come and crush the head of the serpent. But we know that didn't happen. And many children were born in the covenant line, looking forward to the true seed who would come and crush the head of the serpent. And they waited and waited and waited. And God had promised. And they wondered, was God's word true? God had made promises to Abraham that your descendants will be like the stars in the sky, like the sand in the sea, like you will take this land of Canaan. And yet they went off into captivity. Was the word of God really true? Could God be trusted? The promise is made to David that there will always be a son of David sitting on the throne. And yet the kingdom will go into captivity. Can we trust the word of God? Has God failed? The promises in Isaiah remind us that the word of the Lord will stand forever. Advent is a reminder that even though we don't always see God working out His promises, He does work them out perfectly and in His own time. At the end of the Old Testament, after Malachi, the final prophet, speaks and looks forward to that coming Son who would come and rule and reign, there are 400 years of prophetic silence. Imagine that, children. 400 years of silence. Twice as old as our country is, of silence. And yet finally, in the fullness of time, God comes in His Son, Jesus Christ. He sends the prophet John ahead of Him to quote these words Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway. And Christ comes as promised. Advent is a reminder of the faithfulness of God to His Word. When we begin to wonder, is God really in control? He has said that all things work for the good of those who love Him. But right now, it doesn't seem that way. Right now, it seems like the evil is winning out over the good. Remember that God in His time works out His promises perfectly. God in His time will come and bring comfort and blessing and care to His people. Advent is a reminder that as we look forward to the coming of the celebration of Christmas, that God does fulfill His Word. Our words may fall. Our words may fail. The words of men are like grass. They're like flowers. They can fade and die. But the Word of our God will stand forever. Nothing can thwart the promises of God. We have assurance, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We have this word to the exiles. A voice cries, prepare the way for the Lord. We have this word, cry, what shall I cry that the word of the Lord stands forever? And then we have this final word. This word in verse 9. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. To this point, the prophet has been speaking to Israel. Israel, you're going into exile, but comfort, comfort, speak tenderly to you, for your warfare is ended, and your iniquity is pardoned, and you've received all the punishment you're going to get. So far, Israel has been spoken to. Now, knowing they have been pardoned, knowing that God's word does stand forever, now Israel is called to speak. They are called to make a declaration. Get up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Say to the cities, behold your God. Knowing the comfort given by God to His people, Zion, Israel, Jerusalem, now call to declare that truth to those around them. The message is now not to the church, but given from the church. We who receive the blessing of this good news, we who hear the glories of the gospel, that if you repent and believe, God surely will forgive your sins. He has promised it. Now we have the obligation to declare that good news. To say to those around us, behold your God. We have received the comfort, and we are called to pass it on. Advent is a time that simply begs us to tell the truth about what God has done in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because even now, the world is sensitized that something is going on. The world counts shopping days till Christmas, or they count various things about Christmas, but they know Christmas is coming. The world is preparing in their own way to celebrate in their own way. It is for the church, it is for Zion, it is for Jerusalem to declare the truth about Christmas. Maybe you go to work tomorrow and someone says, how was your Thanksgiving weekend? Did you have a good time on Thanksgiving? And we might say, yeah, we had turkey and stuffing and sweet potatoes and all that kind of stuff. And we talk about the externals. Or we can say, yes, it was a wonderful Thanksgiving. I began my day in the house of God giving thanks. And now we've turned an ordinary question toward the things of God. Maybe someone next week asks you, how's your Christmas shopping coming? Are you prepared for Christmas? Rather than simply saying, oh, my shopping's coming along fine. Yes, I'm being prepared. Yes, I'm preparing for Christmas. I am hearing how God's word promised so long ago in Isaiah came true in Jesus Christ. And now the world has asked us the question. We don't even have to go out and find someone to talk to. They're asking us. It is for Zion. It is for Jerusalem to tell the truth. To get to a high mountain. To lift up your voice with strength. To not be afraid. And say, behold your God. Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming into the world. And the church must bring that message. The prophet says, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. We speak of a God who does come in might, who does come in power, who does come in judgment. We have to tell people the whole story about Christmas. The whole story about Jesus coming. That He was sent into the world because the world was fallen and sinful. Why would God need to send a Savior if there was not someone to be saved? And so we declare the whole truth about Christmas. That yes, Jesus was sent as a baby, but He was sent as the Savior of a fallen, sinful world. We tell them about God's justice. And we also tell them about God's mercy. Yes, man was fallen and sinful. Yes, man had no hope in himself. And yet God, in His love and mercy, sent Jesus Christ. The prophet, after speaking of God as one whose arm rules and whose reward is coming, says, He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. We speak of the justice of God, but also the mercy of God. Justice and mercy together. That's the truth of Christmas. And we have to bring the whole story. The good news is only good news in the context of bad news. If I went to the doctor tomorrow and he said to me, Reverend Niemeyer, I've got good news for you. You don't have cancer. Well, that would be good news. But if I had been struggling with cancer for the last 10 years, becoming more and more frail and infirmed, and then the doctor comes and he says, I have good news for you. You don't have cancer anymore. Now that's good news. When we share the truth of Christmas, don't share half the story. Don't share only the love of God and the Son, Jesus Christ, the baby, but point them beyond the manger to the cross. That He came for a purpose. He came to save His people from their sins. He was Jesus, Joshua, our salvation. Declare the truth of God's justice and God's mercy. Zion is told to speak. Jerusalem told to raise its voice. God doesn't tell the Philistines, declare that I'm coming. God doesn't tell the Amorites, declare I'm coming. God doesn't tell the Canaanites, declare I'm coming. He tells Jerusalem, Zion. If we don't tell the good news, no one else will. The Philistines will get it wrong. The Amorites will get it wrong. The Canaanites will get it wrong. The world will get it wrong. The grocery stores, the department stores will all get it wrong. It is up to us, those who have received the message of comfort, know the truth of comfort. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Jerusalem, you are called to bring the message. You are called to bring the good news, the words of comfort in the Son, Jesus Christ. If we don't do it, no one else will. The world will not do it. They will get it wrong. It is up to Zion. It is up to Jerusalem. It is up to you to declare the truth of Christmas. Comfort. Comfort my people. That's the words that the prophet begins with as he anticipates the coming of the Savior of the world, the one who comes with God's power, the one who comes to fulfill God's promises, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. As we in the next 4 weeks together prepare for the celebration of Christmas, we will hear about Christ's advent and the blessings that we as the church receive because God sent His Son. Let us not hoard that truth, but share it with all those around us. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do thank You for Your Word revealed to us. For Your Word revealed in the prophets. A Word that was spoken to Your people so long ago. A Word of judgment and a Word of mercy. And how we thank You that living on this side of the cross, we can know that Word in its fullness. We can know true comfort, true joy, true safety. That we have received all the punishment that we shall, and that You, Jesus Christ, have pardoned us for our sins. Lord God, may that glorious truth live with us today, in the week to come, and may we share that truth with those around us. May we hear the words of the prophet, O Zion, herald of good news, O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift up your voice, fear not, but say, Behold, your God. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.